Welcome to Season 4 of Swiss Impact with Banerjees. I'm Sveta.
And I'm Ben. The topic of Season 4 is impactful businesses. Do you also want to shift your capital to make positive impact and profit at the same time?
Our amazing guests, who are business owners, founders of impact investing funds, thought leaders, will inspire you to get invest with impact.
So in this season, we will focus on high impact, high profit investment opportunities, which of course will also contribute to the sustainable development goals.
Watch and get into action with your money to speed up the capital shift to serve all people and the environment.
We aim to establish an easy and quick match between all impactful businesses and investors.
Why?
We do not have time to wait for politicians and big banks to start acting at big scale.
See you every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central European Time at Swiss Impact with Banerjees.
Impact is best when you invest. Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone.
Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 3. This season, we are going to focus on supporting impactful businesses all around the world.
We are getting the following questions, not only from businesses, but also from financial institutions and investors. What is impact investment or impact measurement? Why should we measure it? And how do we measure impact?
So we decided to make a special show today where we will make it easy for you, our dear audience, to understand the impact measurement. Let's bring more clarity and shed light on this important topic.
And although we are aware that people all around the world are watching us, but still before we continue, a quick reminder to you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, not to miss any future exciting episodes. It's easy. It's youtube.com/Swiss Impact.
Ben, before we invite our guest, would you share a short story?
So I was thinking that although we live in a world of gloomy news, let's speak of something positive today. So we all heard about the COVID pandemic. COP26 seems to have speeded up the flow of assets to the sustainable and impactful sectors.
Is that true? And where do you see that? It still seems that small middle enterprises are kind of resource starved and investments are not reaching them.
Unfortunately, that is indeed true. Despite of all the promises we are hearing from the governments and large financial institutions, there is still not enough funds moving to the SMEs. The number of greenwashing cases is increasing, and issues like ESG ratings are willfully confusing the market. Let's take a look at one of our favorite countries, Mauritius. Investing or supporting SMEs to transform to green energy might not help much if the sea level keeps on rising. So we indeed have to keep an eye on the larger picture. And even if we manage to increase the part of solar and wind energy in our energy mix significantly, it still won't be able to stop the global warming till the root cause of emission is handled. And honestly speaking, I don't see that happening soon. So let's look at it from the other angle.
Which one?
Can we use technology to cool the globe? Well, as per Wouter van Dieren from Club of Rome and from Refreeze the Arctic Consortium, not only is it possible, but it is also economical. One such example is a technology developed by Marine Cloud Brightening, or MCB, which even my university, the Technical University of Delft, is involved in this. It's a geoengineering technique to reflect solar energy. A worldwide deployment will cost few billions, but it shows the promise of delaying global warming with 75 years. This discussion or this has also few opposing arguments, but I leave that to the scientists to check it out further.
Well, that's indeed great news, but let's not be too technical. Once again, it seemed that it's not the governments or financial institutions, but the scientists who might come up with solutions, like also solutions proposed by our dear friend Her Excellency Professor Dr. Amina Gharib Fakim.
Very, very true. I do agree that this is the case. And I want to start the topic of today with a short question. If you ask somebody on the street, what is environmentally better, Coca-Cola in glass or plastic bottle?
Of course. In glass, right?
Exactly. Well, the real answer might be more complicated than that. When you bring Coke in glass bottle, it weighs considerably more than thus, in other words, more CO2 emission while transporting it. Mm-hmm. Breaking glasses into pieces and recycling it costs immense amount of energy. And once again, CO2 emission. Mm-hmm. So we do have to look at many factors before we speak of business or working at solving SDGs. That's why today we start with a very, very important topic, impact measurement. As without it, you cannot approach impact investors for fund. You can't say that you are contributing to SDGs. And if you're not measuring your impact, it will not be credible if you can't deliver a comprehensive impact report. So we want to make it simple and to avoid technical terms, so anyone can understand the concept and start incorporating impact measurement into the businesses.
That's absolutely true, that it's so important. So who's our guest today?
It's you. You are the expert who teach all around the universities about this.
Wow, that's a surprise for me. I hope I will be able to really make it easy for our dear audience to comprehend that.
So very simply starting, we start with what is the goal of impact measurement? Mm-hmm.
So the goal of impact measurement is to manage and control the process of creating social impact. Why? In order to maximize it or to optimize it. And let's look at it from three different perspectives, from impact business perspective, investors perspective, and the end beneficiaries. So if we look from the business point of view, the founder wants to, of course, to make sure that they achieve the positive social and environmental impact that they want to create in the world. And they also want to make sure they are on the right track. So if their mission is successful or failing, so they can correct it with the actions. If you look from investors' point of view, they want to make sure that their money is indeed creating positive impact in the world. So they would ask for an impact report showing some KPIs, so-called key performance indicators, which they would agree upfront with the business founder. And last but not least, the end beneficiaries. So for end beneficiaries, it is important to integrate. So they are integrated into impact measurement process, not to create a negative impact, which, to be honest, happens sometimes, even with good intentions, right? So this is why we need to make sure that we indeed create positive impact for end beneficiaries. So we need to integrate them with the activities of social business, which we undertake.
And keep in mind that there are many more stakeholders, such as communities, government, people around the society, and others. So it can get very complex.
Absolutely, it is.
So second question would be, what are the three main reasons to measure impact?
Well, that's pretty simple, right? So the three main reasons are learning, action, and accountability. But let's go one by one. So let's start with learning, okay? So if you want to measure impact, and of course you want to learn if your mission is succeeding or failing, as I mentioned at the beginning, and you want to learn to understand your performance much better. So you want to test your assumptions, maybe adjust your strategy and resource allocation. The second one is about action. Impact measurement sets kind of a guide behavior for stakeholders involved. It also communicates values of your enterprise. And it is very important for all entrepreneurs seeking funds in impact investing sector. It attracts funds, and in order to continue attracting funds, once you get it once, you most probably will need more in 1, 2, 3 years, it depends. So you must prove your impact. So measuring is indeed a key. And let's go to the third one, which was accountability. So you need to report your impact, not only to investors, but to public, to prove credibility of your impact promise. And it adds enormous trust to social ventures and legitimizes impact investment as an approach, because otherwise you wouldn't be measuring impact.
It's all so complicated and so long. What is the ultimate goal of impact measurement? Please, in one sentence.
All right. So the ultimate goal of impact measurement is to improve social and environmental impacts, which are valued by beneficiaries and investors.
So the investors is the important point. Okay.
And beneficiaries as well.
Exactly. But for a businessman, okay, we now understand that it's important to measure impact. But how? How do we measure impact?
Right. So where to start and get a proper impact measurement system in place? Especially for the beginners, it takes some effort. So the newcomers are struggling to find the right tools, and there are no standards yet, right? And there is a whole spectrum of different impact measurement approaches, which depends on the stage of your business, of the size of it, and resources available, right? So how much money and time can you allocate in order to measure your impact? There's some good news that there are a lot of free methodologies available, principles from organizations such as Gates, Rockefeller Foundations. So they provide the tools for free. You can check them out on Google. Where else? Right. So, and there are also regional guidelines such as EVPA guidelines on how to approach impact measurement. And there are others as well, so such as SROI or social return on investment methodology provided by, I think, UNGC reporting guidelines are also coming together with that. So, but there are many kind of standards very widely used. I wanted to advise something simple to our audience, which is IRIS from the Global Impact Investing Network. So IRIS, I-R-I-S, IRIS Plus. And this one, I recommend to start with, to check out how it's set and what are the KPIs provided. Because when you start working with IRIS, you have a better idea what to look for or which metrics are at all out there. And the beauty of IRIS Plus is that many of social enterprises are using it, meaning that if you also will be using it, investors could compare your business with a competitor, even though usually they are quite unique, but still it provides kind of some standards, KPIs, which you can take.
Cool. That is so overwhelming. Let's start with something very basic and down, which even I can understand. So I know that typically impact is evaluated with theory of change.
Right.
Can you please tell us something more about it?
Well, of course. So theory of change is the backbone of any social impact measurement system. It links your day-to-day activities to overall mission or long-term goals, right? It is a key in your decision-making, if you have it.
Okay, finally, a short correct answer. Good, thank you. What should be measured to evidence your social impact and how?
So a theory of change typically shows the big picture including issues that you can't control, right? It shows all the different ways that might lead to change, and it describes how and why you think the change will actually happen. So basically, it explains the change that organization plans to take in the world, and the theory explains the assumption how the change supposed to happen.
So much theory. What does it mean practically?
Okay, you are really nailing me down today. So practically, it means that it will help you to understand what are the intended results, how to achieve the intended results, and how to know that intended results were achieved.
Huh, okay. And then comes the next thing which I hear very often is logic model.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that many people get mixed up with it. Can you explain what is logic model?
Right. So logic model, it kind of demonstrates the underlying theory of change, because theory of change is based on a lot of assumptions from impact to your inputs. And the logic model, it's also sometimes called impact chain. It emerges from your theory of change when you try to capture the impactful aspect of your business idea. So basically, theory of change allows you to rapidly describe the impact to others, and the logic model allows you to define exactly how the inputs you give will produce the societal level impact you are aiming for. And please let me show you logic model, how it is built. So it contains 5 elements. You can write it down. The most important, or like they are all important, right? So you start, you have inputs, you have activities, you have output, outcome, and impact. Pretty simple. And briefly explaining that. So inputs are resources that you need to put with your business in order to impact to happen. Can be financial resources, human resources, technical resources, whatever it is. Activities are ventures, primarily activities, actions, tasks on day, weekly, and monthly basis. Outputs are the tangible and immediate results that come from your business. And I will give you a practical example, so don't you worry that you, Ben, will be lost here. Outcomes, the fourth one, are the things that happen because of your outputs. And it's very important to distinguish between outputs and outcomes. Impact, the last one, the long term, is the change on society and or the environment that comes from your outcomes. And a very important thing is that you also should aim to adjust your impact with what would have happened anyway, because, you know, our world is so complex, and all the sustainable development goals issues are very kind of wicked problems, right? Complex. And this is why, even if your enterprise wouldn't be there, things would happen. So what would have happened anyway? This you need to try to put into the equation in order to understand your true impact.
That's a lot of theory. Can you please, you just now promised, show us an example or tell us about an example where these 5 points are shown?
Right. So let's look at a solar company which is producing solar kits, and they want in the long term reduce diseases caused by inhaling kerosene. So, you know, in many countries in Africa, people are still using kerosene lamps, and it causes disease. And then, of course, the kids are not having enough light to study in the evening, and so on. There are many problems associated with that. So if we put a very simple logic model for such type of company, we go from inputs. Okay. One example of inputs would be their financial resources to produce the solar kit. Is it clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Activity would be to build solar installations. Is it clear?
Even I understand that.
Okay, good. Output is number of the solar kits sold. So how many of solar kits they produced in a month, in a half year, in a year. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. Outcome is more tricky. It is a number of liters of kerosene saved, right? So if people are having the solar kit, they hopefully stop using kerosene lamps. So meaning that we can save liters of kerosene, which are not used anymore. However, this is why it's very important to involve beneficiaries to make sure it's really happened. Because what can happen that they use solar kits and kerosene. So your impact will not be the one which you want in the world, right? So by conducting also surveys with beneficiaries, explaining them. And so this is why it's so important to involve beneficiaries. And last, so the impact of the company would be in the long term, the reduction in disease caused by inhaling kerosene. So if people are using this solar kits for many, many years, then the health condition must be improved. And just let me finish. The key thing to note here is that the part you control through your social enterprise is, of course, inputs, outputs, and activities, right? It's very difficult to control outcomes and impact.
So it is not really, I mean, I understand everything with your examples.
I thought you understood 100%.
No. But can you still, at least for our audience who may not be as proficient in this topic, what is the difference between outcome, output, and impact in a language that even I can understand?
All right, let me try again. So output, right? The third component of an impact chain or logic model. Output are based on immediate results and indicated progress, right? So how much of the product you have produced, how many people you have educated or provided healthcare for how many people, okay? Or how many people you supported with some kind of program. So it's really because of your activities, you can measure the output right away. And here it goes that your key performance indicators are very much connected. So financial and impact KPIs, right? The more you produce solar kits, the more you can sell, of course, get more revenues, but also the more impact you can create because more people can use your solar kits. So this is how and why it's important to understand impact measurement and connect it with your normal financial key performance indicators. Let's go to outcomes now. So outcomes are derived from the outputs and they are midterm changes, right? And they show effect of outputs because it can change behavior of beneficiaries, right? As his previous example, kerosene lamp. So the behavior would change. They would not use kerosene lamp anymore, right? Then you impacted. So this was your midterm impact on their behavior. And last, the impact, it is a long-term change in status quo. And it can take decades sometimes, right? Till we really can see or measure it. As a health improvement, it's not from one day to another that we can really see, okay, now suddenly they feel better, they look better, and run farther away. So impact is a long-term change.
So going to the third part, what are the challenges of impact measurement?
Oh, there are so many challenges. Right. But it's not to scare you to not to measure, right? Just you need to be aware of it. The first is, for example, collection of data. You need to collect good quality data and quite a lot of it, right? In order to find the evidence. And it comes directly to the second issue, finding the evidence between your activities and outcomes. Is it really because we did something and did some programs and that people are living better, or maybe they became less poor or more healthy, whatever it is. So what, how to find this evidence and really say it's because of us, our enterprise, it happened. The third problem is, for example, also finding cost-effective solutions for measuring impact, because it can get very expensive, and usually the startups don't have the money to measure impact with very sophisticated statistical methods, and this actually is not necessary. So if you start with deriving your theory of change, logic model, you can also check, there are some, as I said, Iris Plus methods. There are also some providers which provide programs where you can measure your impact as a next step, but really start with a simple one, theory of change. Another problem which I can think about is that the SDGs, or problems which social entrepreneurs are trying to solve, are wicked problems. Wicked means complex, like climate change, your favorite topic, right? So why didn't we solve climate change yet? Because if you try to do something on one side of the world, the other side of the world may explode. So right, it's very complex. It's all connected, interconnected, and we don't know the causes of our actions. This is why it's, again, also complex, right? The other problem is we are living in a time or in a world where everything is changing. You are trying to solve one problem, but maybe it will solve by itself also over time. It can happen, right? Mm-hmm. Or it can become worse, or circumstances will change. Political leaders might change, right? So in different aspects, the changing over time aspect is important to understand. And the good news are that to any SDGs, there are multiple solutions. So this is why also many social entrepreneurs are trying to solve the same SDGs from different angles, trying to provide different solutions, which is great, right? So this what the problems I can think of right now and challenges.
And can you give us some tips on how to drive a powerful logic model?
Okay. And it's very important to make it powerful, otherwise better not to make it at all.
Yeah.
So the first is you need to start from the end, right? We said it contains inputs, activities, outputs, outcomes, and impact. So you need to start from impact. You build first the big picture. What do you want to create in the world? And then thinking in the midterm, in order to achieve the big one, what must happen? Which midterms improvements must happen so you could achieve impact? And then you go to outputs. What do you need to produce or improve people's life or whatever? The tangible ones, the immediate results. And then you go, okay, then which activities I need to do? And then very last, what kind of resources do I need? And why do we do that? Because if you start going from the inputs, you might have right now very limited resources, and this will not bring you to the big impact, right? This is why we go from the end, big picture, and then we see, okay, what do we actually need? And then you can search out for that resources, and I'm sure you will find it, okay? This is the first important thing. The second one, I already mentioned, I'm not trying to repeat, engage your stakeholders into when you derive your impact theory of change. You need to engage your stakeholders. Another one is to value things that matter, because it's not at all a goal to create complex and with a lot of different parameters inside a logic model, which nobody will understand, and you will try to value a lot of things. No, it's not this what we want. We want to value things that matter to your impact, that matter to the investors, that will make them understand, okay, you're indeed creating impact. It must make sense. It must be reasonable. Then recognize your contribution as part of the big system, right? So again, we come to this complexity that you are not alone there. So what is the system around? Your contribution is inside. So be aware of that. And last, what I want to give you with is be aware that theory of change is iterative process, or logic model, both of them. It's iterative process, meaning that once you derive it, you don't put it in your far, far away cupboard and say, thanks God, we've done. No, you monitor it, you evaluate your logic model. It becomes part of your culture. All the employees must know that it exists and contribute to it and help to track your impact, help you to adjust activities if they're not producing the outcomes or output that you want, right? So it brings you to the alignment of your goal. This is why it's important to have iterative process with your logic model. And very last, I think people still tend to forget that it must be easy, easily understood, even by who is not familiar with your business. What I heard a lot of theory of changes and logic models, that usually your reaction will be like, huh? Like, you're trying to understand hardly, but you don't, because mm-hmm. it's just too complex. It's not easy. So you need to make it so easy that someone reads it and say, okay, I understand what you're actually trying to impact, what you're trying to achieve, and how. Through your activities, output, it makes sense.
I really don't remember when I had so much theory in one day or in 1 hour or 20 minutes.
I'm trying to make
minutes.
It practical.
One of the terms I have heard often in these kind of discussions is high quality indicators. What are these, and how can a business choose or find one?
Right. So they are so-called smart C. What does it mean? It stands for that indicators are specific, measurable, attainable, R for relevant, T for time-bound, S for standard, and C for stakeholder inclusive, right? You need to make sure that you can obtain them easily without heavy lifting to get the right data, that you align with the key business goals, and so on. As an example, if you want to enhance capacity of school planning system, bad indicator would be to want to improve job prospects for those who leave school early, okay? And the good one, increase in school enrollment rate from 85 to 95%. So you have something precise here, right? Something time-bound, measurable, compared to the first indicator, which is just words. So always try to make it measurable, because you will need to measure it. And if you have no idea how, and it's really difficult to measure, then simply you will not able to measure.
The only abbreviation I remember till now is KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid.
So that's a good one as well, absolutely.
Exactly. So the next would be, what are the key elements for data collection?
Okay, data collection. So when we need to gather data for impact measurement, what you need to know that it must be planned and ongoing, right? So when we measure impact, we usually start doing it before we act. I mean, for example, if you have a program for beneficiaries, right? So you're going to do something in which you think is going to create impact. So you need to understand how was it before and then after. And you can set up impact measurement like every 6 months. So it is ongoing. And of course, you need to establish good indicators from the beginning, because you are going to measure the same indicators after a certain period of time. So it's before and after intervention, okay? Then it's important to embed impact measurement into your operational process. So one of your team members may be partially engaged in that, in impact measurement process, right? So it becomes kind of a routine in your daily business. So it's important to gather the data, good data. And of course, it's your responsibility as a founder to inform all employees about the big picture. Are we on track or something needs to be changed and so on? And to review periodically your impact measurement to eliminate errors. We are humans, we make errors, it can happen, then you create huge impact and everyone is happy, but actually there was some kind of mistake. So we don't want that. It's better to review periodically or maybe get another person who will double check the first one.
And can you name some different tools to measure impact?
Right. I mean, we were talking about metrics, indicators, right? So Iris Plus, where you can find some key performance indicators, financial, operational, product, sector related, social and environmental objectives. And Iris Plus is actually built on 40 sector specific standards. You know, people have been busy with that since long time.
I still go back to KISS.
Right. And so the other one I mentioned also, like biannual verification through surveys with your beneficiaries, case studies. This is how you get a lot of feedback and on impact, right? This is, I think, the most important. You should do that. And with your clients as well. And the last one is a statistical one called RCT, randomized controlled trials. It is, however, quite costly because it involves a multi-year engagement and you need some specialists to measure the accurate correlation between the outcome and impact. However, it provides quite accurate results, right? So if you have once money and you are advanced, then you should also check that one.
Hmm. But are these the only approaches or are there other approaches?
Are you joking? Of course, there are so many. And I think I would just suggest our audience to check the lean data approach provided by Acumen Fund, lean data approach. So check that one. It is a fast, reliable, customer-centric approach to impact measurement. And the Lean Data leverages the power of low-cost technology, so it's rather low-cost, right? And lean experimentation principles to collect high-quality data at a fraction of the time and cost of other methods. So it's really based on these surveys. And so if you create good questions, you can get a lot of high quality data, which you can use for your impact. And why it's very powerful? Because it has two main elements. First one is a shift in thinking away from reports, internal audits to learning about the value the company offers to customers, right? So because what I see that we are over-reporting, over-auditing stuff, but not over-impacting, right? So in order to bring it to more practical, you can check that approach. And the second element which it contains, that you use the data collection methods and techniques which are focused on efficiency and decision-making while achieving a sufficient degree of accuracy, which is again very important. It's not that anyone can't measure impact, but the accuracy of this connection that your activities lead to outcomes, outputs, outcomes, and impact, that's pretty tricky to get this accuracy. And so in this method, you will need to speak directly to your customers to understand what matters to them, because your success is defined by the change you create in their lives.
Thank you. The time is running out and I can feel my brain overheating. Thank you for everything and for the information we learned today. Can you please share any call to action message for our global audience?
Well, let's start with not everything that can be counted counts. And not everything that counts can be counted, right? And I want to say here that start measuring impact, even though you never did it before. Just get what we taught today, simple things. Start doing that already. And because it's so important to really see whether you're creating impact in the world or not, or can you improve it to make it even stronger and better for end beneficiaries? And of course, we don't want to make negative impact, right? So start measuring impact. You got it all to start doing it. And yeah, I think I stop here.
Thank you very, very much, dear viewers. With this, we finish our show of today. We will be coming back next week with a surprise. In February, we will run a contest, Impact Leaders.
Where we are running it.
We are running it with amazing investor and jury, Kevin Harrington. And there will also be more prizes to win, such as mentorship program and, of course, invitation to this TV show. Check Chamomile Contest for more such events. We invite all impactful businesses who are seeking investment or support to our TV show so that they can receive financial support and find other resources.
That's perfect. So I guess that's all for today. Thank you for watching us, and impact is best
when you invest.
That's great.
Bye for now.
Bye bye. Ciao, ciao.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed this episode of TV show Swiss Impact with Banerjee.
Make sure you check out the next one, and also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And please subscribe to our channel so you know when we release new episodes.
And also leave us some feedback to help us grow this awesome impact community.
We look forward to sharing the next episode with you. And until then,
impact is best when you invest.